Thank you, Greg, Boa, and Samzi. And thank you again very much, St. Thomas's, for welcoming Sophie and I so much over the last 6 months. It's a great privilege to be serving you in this way by opening up the scriptures. Would you pray with me as we come to look at the Lord Jesus? Our Father, we thank you so much that in the pages of Mark's Gospel, you show us your Son. And so, Father, we ask over the next few minutes, please make everything about him. Please give us eyes that see him. Please give us ears that hear his voice. Please give us minds that understand. And our Father, please give us hearts that love Jesus. We ask it for our good and for his glory. Amen. Authority demands an audience. Think of the judge entering the law court, all rise, and then in all silence, they listen. Authority demands an audience. Think of the chief executive entering the boardroom, chit-chat stops, the chairs swivel round. Authority demands an audience. Think of the general marching onto the parade square and rows of soldiers standing to attention. Authority demands an audience. Think of the professor entering the lecture hall and a whole room of students, laptops open, ready to take notes. Authority demands an audience. Finally, think of the doctor entering the hospital ward and the patient sitting up in their bed, ready to hear. Authority demands an audience. This afternoon, God wants to persuade us from Mark's Gospel that Jesus has all authority. Let me say that again. This afternoon, God wants to persuade us from Mark's Gospel that Jesus has all authority. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. The authority of the whole world belongs to him. And Mark wants to persuade us of this because he wants us to be Jesus' captive audience, listening to Jesus, taking to heart what he says, following him. The story is told of Queen Victoria's chaplains, one of Queen Victoria's chaplains. Queen Victoria at the time, she was reigning over a quarter of the globe. And this chaplain, he had just been preaching about Jesus. And afterwards, in conversation with the chaplain, Queen Victoria said, "How I wish that the Lord would return in my lifetime." And the chaplain said, "Why is that, Your Highness?" Queen Victoria, apparently, she replied with quivering lips, "I should so love to lay my crown at his feet." As we read through Mark's Gospel, that is the response God is after. Captivated by Jesus, declaring our allegiance to Jesus, following Jesus wherever he goes, becoming more and more a part of his audience. All of us, even Queen Victoria. Why? Because Jesus has all authority. Mark's Gospel, it begins with the momentous news that Jesus, the Son of God himself, has arrived. A God, his chosen King, has entered our world. That's chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. Today, from chapter 1, verses 16 to 2, verse 17, the focus slides from Jesus' arrival to Jesus' authority. This afternoon, we're going to see Jesus' authority in action. There's lots to see, but just two headings. One, Jesus has all authority. Two, Jesus has come to preach. We'll spend nearly all of our time looking at that first point as we run through the narrative. But at the end, we'll look at two verses in particular that show us that Jesus came to preach. So one, Jesus has all authority. And two, Jesus has come to preach. First, Jesus has all authority. To start, come and see with me Jesus' authority over people. Chapter 1, reading from verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Imagine the scene, Jesus walking beside the sea, and we're told he saw two fishermen, two brothers, Simon and Andrew. They're casting their nets into the sea. And Jesus, he says, "Follow me." And immediately, did you notice that word in verse 18? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Jesus, he then moves further down the beach. And again, we're told he saw two fishermen, two brothers, James and John. This time they're mending their nets. And this time they have a father, Zebedee, and a boat and hired servants. It's quite the business. But Jesus, again, he says, "Follow me." And leaving behind everything, their father, the hired servants, the boat, they follow Jesus. It is breathtaking authority, isn't it? Jesus just calls people, and whatever their circumstances, they follow him. He calls, people follow. It's as simple as that. At home, my mum had a phrase to pull me and my brother into line. She'd say, "I-O," which stood for instant obedience. Whatever we were doing, we were meant to stop and listen to what she wanted us to do. And it's the same here. I-O, instant obedience. Jesus has authority over people. Next, Jesus has authority in his teaching. Come and see that in verses 21 and 22. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Again, imagine the scene. Jesus, a carpenter by trade, entering the synagogue, but he's not there to fashion a new set of pews, nor even to listen to the scribes himself, the religious experts. Jesus enters the synagogue to teach. And those listening are astounded. "He teaches with such authority," they say. "It's so new and commanding," they say. "He speaks as though he speaks the very words of God, not like our scribes who declare, 'God says.' This guy Jesus, he says, 'I say,' as if God's words are his own words." And as an illustration of all of this, amid all the excitement, a man, demon-possessed, he cries out against Jesus, and Jesus, with his words, sends the demon away. Would you look with me then in verse 27? "They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" So often our leaders and influencers speak with such limited authority, limited knowledge, limited certainty, limited power. But not Jesus. Jesus has authority in his teaching. Next. Now, this is really special. Jesus has authority over sickness. I'm told the Royal North Shore, Sydney, has 713 beds. I imagine a good portion of those beds are occupied. The Royal North Shore, Capernaum, on the other hand, every bed was left empty when Jesus was in town. Let me show you. The healings begin in verse 29. Jesus enters the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law is lying ill with a fever, deadly stuff in the first century world. But Jesus comes up to her bedside and he takes her by the hand and he lifts her up and the fever leaves her. Look at verse 32. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Just imagine it, if you can, the Royal North Shore, Capernaum. You drive into the car park and it's empty. You go up to the reception desk and it's empty. You walk into the cafe and it's empty. You pass by the cardiology ward, it's empty. You pass by the COVID ward, it's empty. Every bed in every room is empty. It's an astonishing thought, isn't it? An empty hospital, because everyone has gone out to Jesus, the one who has authority over sickness. But you know, it doesn't end there. There's this poor man in verses 40 to 45. He's a leper. He's a man with scaly skin, shunned by society, marked not just as physically, but spiritually unclean, unable to enter the temple for fellowship with God. And yet Jesus comes to him. More than that, he touches him. And do you want to see the results? Verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Jesus, he doesn't just have authority over physical sickness. He has authority over spiritual sickness too. So, people, teaching, sickness, spiritual sickness. And now in chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, Jesus displays his authority in his teaching again. But this time, more specifically, in his authority to forgive sin. The Bible says sin is humanity's rude denial to God. It's our tragic refusal to love God, our posture of rebellion that inevitably leads to the judgment of God. But here's the thing. Jesus has authority to forgive us our sin. Jesus is back again in Capernaum. Just like last time, he's teaching. It says he's preaching the word to them. So many are gathered in this house. People are spilling out of the sides. And then, just imagine it if you can, the roof of this building caves in. And it's not an earthquake. It's not a build-up of water. It's four men desperately trying to get their friend to Jesus. Their friend who's paralyzed. Of all the sicknesses in the world, surely this is one of the worst. And yet Jesus doesn't think so. He says, would you look with me, chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now there are two shocking things about what Jesus is saying here. For one thing, Jesus is saying that rebellion against God, sin, is worse than paralysis. Just think about that for a moment. Sin is worse than paralysis. And for another thing, shockingly, Jesus is clearly claiming that he is God. After all, who can forgive sins but God alone? That's what some of the scribes who are there are thinking. You can't say that. You're not God. But Jesus has got the perfect way to prove his divine authority. He says to the paralyzed man, get up. And he does. Look with me from verse 9. Jesus says to the scribes, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Jesus has authority to forgive sin. With his teaching, by his words, sin and judgment are wiped away. People, teaching, sickness, spiritual sickness, teaching again. And with all of these themes woven together, we're back to see Jesus' authority over people at the end. Jesus, did you notice from verse 13? He's walking beside the sea again. Again, Jesus, we're told he saw a man. Levi is his name. But he's not a fisherman. He's a tax collector. Notoriously corrupt. A man who had so obviously rejected God and God's plan for his life. Physically, he's fine. He's healthy. But spiritually, this guy's sick. He's a sin-sick sinner, we might say. But just like before, Jesus says, follow me. And Levi, gets up and follows Jesus. Jesus has all authority. Last year, I came across a book by someone called Michael Hart. The book was called The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history. Muhammad took first place, Isaac Newton in second, Jesus came third. Michael Hart is sadly and spectacularly wrong. For Mark has shown us that Jesus has more influence than anyone who has ever lived. Jesus has authority over people and in his teaching, over every physical and spiritual sickness. He speaks the very words of God. He can even forgive sinners and call them to follow him. His identity is unmistakable. He is the Christ, God's King, God's Son. Michael Hart needs to rewrite his book because Jesus has all authority. But a question remains, and that is this. What has Jesus come to do with all his authority? Well, he tells us explicitly twice. Jesus has come to preach. Jesus has all authority. Now, second, briefly, Jesus has come to preach. Would you look at the very middle, the heart of this section? Chapter 1, verse 38. Jesus says, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. We may have expected Jesus to just keep healing people, but actually, Jesus came for something more significant. With all his power, he came to preach. He came to tell us something. Now look at the very end, the conclusion of this section. Chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, a doctor, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." King Jesus has come to call sinners into his kingdom. That is the gospel Jesus preaches. That is what Jesus came to do. He came to preach that he is God's king, that by him sinners can be forgiven, that though we are all sick with sin, he is the doctor we need. With all of his authority, this is Jesus' priority, to proclaim that sinners can be saved. Just think for a moment about what other people do with their authority. Think about Jeff Bezos, the executive chairman of Amazon, more interested in flying himself into space than improving his workers' terrible factory conditions. Think of Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, enforcing strict lockdowns whilst having parties in his own home. Think of Vladimir Putin subduing the smaller country next door. There may well be people in our own life, a boss who oppresses the juniors, a school prefect who bullies the younger years, or someone who just uses their authority for themselves. Not Jesus. Jesus has all authority, and yet with all his authority, Jesus came down to forgive us. The king came even to die so that we could enter his kingdom. The saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus has all authority, and yet for our ultimate good, Jesus came to preach. And so as we close, we would do well to remember that authority demands an audience. Remember the doctor entering the hospital ward and the patient sitting up, ready to hear? Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King, the doctor we need, the one with all authority, he has entered our world. And so we must become a part of his audience and follow him. Jesus, he's told us that we are sick with sin. He's told us that he is the Savior, and he calls us to follow him to be saved. Following, in one sense, it's an invitation to keep reading through Mark's gospel to see what else Jesus has got to say, to hear what he's got to say and to see what he does. And it's what we're doing as we go through Mark's gospel in our midweek groups. But more than that, Jesus' call for us to follow him, it's really an invitation to be forgiven, to take what Jesus says about his kingdom seriously, to take what Jesus says about our sin seriously, to turn away from our rebellion against God and to turn towards Jesus in dependence, to receive his forgiveness as we ask for it in prayer, and to keep receiving the treatment that Jesus offers for the whole of our life, to follow him. Now just imagine, if you can, something with me. It's quite a sobering thought, but I think it makes the point. Imagine tomorrow morning we wake up with a headache. Imagine a week passes and we can't shake it off. And then a month later it's still there, so we decide to go to the doctor, and the doctor refers us and we go to another doctor in the hospital, and it's decided that some scans should be done, so the scans go off, and then the scans come back, and we come back and we see the doctor, and the doctor says, look, there's a tumour. It's about this big. But don't worry, I know what I'm doing. There'll be some surgery. I can save you. Imagine then at that moment we say, no thanks, I'll be okay on my own. That is the wrong response to the authority of the doctor. The right response is to say, yes, please, I need your help. And so how much more with us and our loving Dr. Jesus? The right response to his authority is to receive his forgiveness, to follow him. Not to think that we're righteous, that we are okay on our own, but to recognize that we're sinners who need Jesus, the Savior. Authority demands an audience. And Jesus, he has all authority. He has authority over all people. So follow him. Jesus has authority in his teaching. So follow him. Jesus has authority over every physical and spiritual sickness. So follow him. Jesus even has authority to forgive us our sin. So follow him. Jesus has all authority, and he has come to preach, to call sinners into his kingdom. So let's all follow him. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his perfect authority. Our Father, we thank you that he looks to our interests. Thank you, Father, that he can forgive us our sin. And so, Father, we ask by him, please forgive us. And please make us people who follow him day by day, week by week. We ask it for our good and for the Lord Jesus' glory. Amen.